Why is my heart like beating a little faster than normal?
I don't know.
All right, are we ready to go?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, hello, everybody. Good morning, afternoon, evening, whatever time you're listening to this. Might be a first-time listener or you're coming back week after week, but this is Fun on Weekdays podcast. I'm Jenna. You probably already watched the trailer or already read the title to this episode, but I am really excited because I'm here in LA recording with... Want to go ahead and take it away? Introduce yourself.
My name is Nick.
Okay. Nick Vial.
Hi.
So, Nick, I am really excited to have you on this episode. I had a lot of people recently asking for some advice, some boy advice. And I thought, what better person to have on to have you give your side of your advice than you? So, before we get into, like, everybody's questions and everything, I would love for you to introduce yourself a little bit.
I'm Nick. I host a podcast called The Vial Files.
And, yes, of course. I'm sure people have probably seen it all over TikTok, right? You're pretty popular on TikTok with your podcast. That's how I found your podcast.
Yeah. Well, that's how people started mentioning. You did a post or something.
Yes.
And then everyone started writing on my TikTok.
Oh, yeah, probably spamming you because I said I wanted to have you on and, you know, people did not let me down. Now you're sitting here. So, but other
way
than
to go, Internet.
Exactly. Other than podcast, obviously, you're on Bachelor, Bachelorette.
It was.
You have a whole spew of things you're a part of. And I don't want to talk about that too much because you talk. I'm sure you get asked about it all the time. But one of my questions is, obviously, I follow you on TikTok and I know like your girlfriend now, which very happy for you. You're in a great relationship, it seems. One of my questions is, what is like one thing that you've learned about relationships since reality TV?
Since the show? Well, I don't know if I learned it from the show specifically. It's not like I got off the show and I was like, oh, now I know this.
Yeah.
But I would say, I think my biggest takeaway would be feeling like you're in love doesn't mean you're in love.
Okay. Oh, I like that. That kind of just like hit hard. It got me thinking a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you are you in love now?
Yes.
Okay. Love that. Very happy for you. Natalie.
Yes.
First of all, let me just say, she is literally stunning, gorgeous. You hit the jackpot with her.
It's a true dream come true. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. Before I met with you today, I did do a little quick Google search. I'm like, how did you guys meet? I would love to hear from your own words. How did you guys meet?
She slid into my DMs.
Okay. Yeah. Love that for her. And
I love that for me.
I love that for you too. Yeah. It's kind of a win-win. And so what was that initial message?
I think she just complimented my physical attributes.
Okay.
Which
okay.
It worked.
So with that, this is like a question that I was going to ask later, but it kind of fits into it now. What is your take on girls like sliding into DMs? Is there actually a technique or something that you can say that's going to get a guy to respond? Or do you think that it's truly just... a guy sees your DM, he looks at your profile, he thinks you're attractive, and then he'll respond?
Well, a little bit of both.
Okay.
Right? It's a visual platform, Instagram.
Definitely.
And DMs. and so with that being said, it's going to be weighted towards your physical appearance.
For sure.
If you're reaching out to someone and they find you attractive, there's a good chance, if they're available... they
right.
might reply.
Okay.
Especially, I think, you know, guys are, I think, fall in love with their eyes a little bit more than women.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it goes both ways to a certain degree. But at the same time, depending on who you're shooting your shot with, if you suspect that they might get a lot of DMs, because some people might not look, or they might feel overwhelmed, or maybe they have like a... kind of a soft rule. Everyone breaks their own rules.
Okay.
But maybe they have a rule.
Do you have any?
I have plenty of rules, sure. Boundaries or whatever. But if you want to stand out, I mean, and again, like Natalie certainly didn't do this, but, you know, you generally want to not talk about physical attributes. strike up a conversation, ask a question is usually a great way to go.
Okay.
You know, It's like, where'd you get that dress?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like you have to say.
Or the blender in the background.
Right. You have to say something that's like witty enough. Like, I don't know. Like, reply to a story.
I don't think you
want
to go. Don't. I wouldn't try too hard.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, they're going to be interested or they're not, you know.
Yeah.
But if you make it easy for them to respond, you increase your chances.
For sure. Like, there's no formula that you can, there's no specific thing that you can say that's going to guarantee that somebody replies. I will say, however, if somebody is on private versus public, does that have anything to do with?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if they can't see your account,
okay,
why would anyone reply?
That's what I'm thinking, too.
You can't even, like, zoom in on their little, like, circle.
Right. So if you're going to be private, I guess your picture has to be like an absolute smoke show of a photo that they have to be somewhat interested. Like, she could be, you know, cute. And
even
then you follow.
I don't know. I mean,
don't have the time.
I can't speak for anyone, but everyone. But who would want to reply? Like, you don't even know.
I don't know.
Because if it's private and it's, you know, we live in a world where catfishing exists and things like that. And so, if you're going to have a private account, you should send a picture of yourself.
Okay.
I mean, it's a visual platform.
That's honestly.
You know, but even then, I would still, me personally, if you want to be private, and I respect people's privacy on the internet, DMs might not be the platform for you.
Yeah. That's a good point, too. It's a great point. So going back to Natalie, so she slid into your DMs, and how long have you all been together?
Like, we don't have an anniversary or anything, but we have a soft anniversary.
Soft launch.
I've known her for over 2 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And do you feel like, so you guys were probably like together before you were obviously sharing that on social media?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you feel like that was like an important time of your relationship to figure it out? Like, as if you were to have shared that prematurely, like, would your relationship be as strong?
I don't think it would be less strong, but I think it might have added unnecessary stress.
Yeah.
to something that was new.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, also, like, I don't think we dated before we, you know, defined the relationship or became exclusive for a while. So we were, people found out about us, I guess you could say, not too long after we became exclusive. So it wasn't
okay.
Like that much, but we were hanging out for a period of time, not exclusive.
Gotcha. Yeah, I feel like the social media piece now is like, people don't think that you're together until you officially come out with it. But now people are doing like their soft launches where like they want people to know.
On social media?
Yeah. Like, have you ever seen that? People want them to know that they have a boyfriend, but they're not going to show his face. So like allude to it with a picture of them holding hands or like a silhouette.
Sure, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So like they're not single. They want people to know they're not single, but don't necessarily want to bring everybody's opinions into it yet.
Gotcha. Yeah, do you think that's more for the gram, or do you think it's because they want people not to know they're single?
I don't know. I you know, I'm not sure.
Maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah, I would say maybe a little bit of both, you know? Like, you want people to know you're in a relationship, but don't necessarily want their nose stuck in it. But it's also, like, a little bit of attention, too. It's like, oh, wow, with like, you know, who is she with? So
yeah, well, part of it, too, is, like, I think once you go public on social media,
then it's real.
Well, not only that, but like, I don't know if it's more real, but like, you know, it might not work out.
Right.
So, like, there's always like, instead of you have to, you know, when anytime you go in a relationship and you end it, I think there's a lot of things that go through your mind when you're breaking up with your partner or they're breaking up with you. And there's the hurt and all those things about losing the relationship. And then there's a natural, like, what's everyone going to say and think?
Yeah.
And, you know, before social media was a big part of everyone's life, that was just like your inner circle, your friends, family, and things like that. And, you know, now when you like make it public, there's an extra layer of like the world knowing, you know, not
yeah.
that anyone really cares about any of us, but there is an added pressure.
No, for sure. It's like when you break up with the guy, you're not only breaking up with him, but you're breaking up with like the family, but then you're also breaking up with everybody's support of the relationship. Like, I think a lot of times too, people make like announcements when they break up. That I feel like that's become a lot more common. And maybe that's
even
just
not
in
on
like,
The Bachelor.
I was going to say, maybe this is just more common in like the Bachelor sphere. I don't know, but it seems
like non-reality TV people sending out joint messages.
You know? None of my friends have gotten, you know, have broken up with their boyfriends yet. So maybe it'll become a new thing. Who knows?
That'd be kind of hysterical.
It's like the same thing as the soft launch.
We have decided to part ways.
Honestly, it would kind of be nice to see. I think that you have a lot of advice that you can give for us ladies out there in terms of relationships and dating. So, Nick, the reason why I have you on this podcast is because it is called Fun on Weekdays. So basically the whole premise.
Fun on Weekdays. Okay.
Fun on Weekdays. Is this the first time you're hearing the title of my podcast? Be honest.
No, I was just thinking about the meaning of the...
Okay. I'm actually curious. Just hearing the name of it, what do you think that it means? Like, how would you interpret that?
Well, my first thought was like, I'm wondering if you like you're getting your work done.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? Fun on Weekdays. I'm kidding.
Getting work done.
Well, if you're having fun, like, it's a work week.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, you're getting your homework done.
Oh, you're getting work done. Oh my God. I thought you said work done as in like I'm getting plastic surgery. I'm like, where'd you get that from?
No.
Okay.
Work done. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
No, your work.
Yeah, of course.
During the week.
Of course. So the reason why I started it was basically I was working just like everybody else, and I was also having fun after I worked because life is precious. You just never know when it's going to end. And I think oftentimes people wait for the weekend to have fun and enjoy their lives. And then days and years and months, whatever, pass by. I said that in the wrong order. And then they realize that they haven't accomplished what they want to in life. And it's very easy to complain about those things when in reality, if you're enjoying every day and you're making those like small changes in your life, it's very easy to have fun and enjoy it. And relationships and dating and love is obviously a huge part of having fun and enjoying your life. It can be amazing, it can be exhilarating, and it can also be, you know, taxing and very toxic. And so while that person that you're with could bring a lot of fun to your life, they could also be sucking it out of you. So I am here today because, do you know what month it is?
What month? November.
Yeah. Gotta ask.
When you live in LA, it's easy to forget.
Okay, so it's November.
You're from Cleveland, I'm from Milwaukee. You're used to the seasons, aren't you?
That is true. I've been in Austin for the past year.
You get seasons down there?
In Austin?
Yeah.
No, not really. When I left, because I came to LA a couple weeks ago, it was still like in the upper 80s. So don't really get a whole lot.
Yeah, I don't know. That's one thing I noticed when I moved to LA. You forget that like Christmas is next week.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Except that I do have my tree up already, so there is that.
Oh, so you're a step ahead of me.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been traveling too much. Don't have the time to decorate for the holiday. Where are you originally from?
Milwaukee.
Okay. So you have been in the cold.
Very much so, yes.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So it's November, and that means it's no longer hot girl summer. You know, you're not having your flings anymore. The sun just started setting a lot earlier, so it's getting pitch black at like 5:30 p.m.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
It's colder, and you're going home for the holidays, and now your family is going to ask, what is your dating life situation? And everybody is now thinking, like, is my summer fling more than that? Like, I want a boyfriend now. It's time that people are kind of like locking down on the relationships. So.
Because they're worried about mom and dad and Aunt Betty are going to ask them?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't do that.
Did that ever happen to you?
What do you mean?
You ever get like grilled with the questions during the holidays?
I'm sure I have, but I don't recommend basing your relationship status off of.
No, of course
Aunt
not.
Jenny's opinion of it.
Of course. Hey, my name's Jenna. I'm going to be the Aunt Jenny someday. So taking that.
But you get what I'm saying, though, right?
Yes, like, of course.
Yeah.
But I think just in general.
But I recognize you're right that it does happen.
Yeah. Just it gets like the holiday season and it gets cold and all of a sudden people want a boyfriend or girlfriend now. It's like cuffing season. And so like.
Is that cuffing like. Is that what it means? Like defining the relationship?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm teaching you something new today.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So I did like an Instagram Q&A last week, and it was just a bunch of questions, and it ended up being a bunch of questions about guys and dating. And I feel like I could definitely sit here all day and ask you my own advice about my own dating life, but I won't do that.
We can.
Oh, God, no. I don't want to end up on some type of, like, page anywhere. So I'm going to leave myself.
It's your podcast.
I know, but I want to help the people who listen to it. And so I basically broke down everybody's questions into different categories. Okay. And I could give my advice all day long, but I'm a girl. I know that I overanalyze situations, and I think I often think that guys think the way that I do, but we want to hear from you, like, the cold, hard truth and your honest opinion. So the first one, and I wrote these down on my phone, the first category is around, like, the best friend. So whether it's, like, someone you grew up with or it's a family friend and they have feelings for you, but you don't like them, how do you let them down without changing the dynamic of your friendship?
Well, you may not be able to not change the dynamic of the friendship.
Okay.
If they like you, all you can do is be honest with them. If it was the other way around, for example, if the friend who was like, I have feelings for my friend, I would tell them that the relationship's already over.
Okay.
Right, because you have feelings.
Right, yeah.
You know, or at least you, excuse me, you think you do. Okay. And you're going to be weird and awkward and you're not yourself and you're not going to want to hear, you know, if they're, like, having sex with other people or if they met a cute person or, you know, things like that. Your best hope in from the side that you're – from the point of view you're asking from is, like, are they asking you? Or
yeah,
do you,
like,
sense it? Like, are you like, oh, I think they like me? Or are they like, hey, listen, I've loved you for my whole life?
I mean – that has actually never happened to me. I feel like I've been on the opposite side of it, where I've been the one that I'm like, you're literally my best friend, and I kind of feel some type of way, but I've, you know, you're scared to make, like, that move. So I guess it doesn't really matter what side it's coming from. How do you initiate that move? Like, do you just come right out and say?
Have to say it, yeah.
Okay. See, I think
what you shouldn't do is hope that they figure it out, or, like, slowly try to, like, ask him out on, like, start playing, like, hey, like, you want to go to this, like, play with me, you know, even if you never went to plays, like, something you would do with, like, a romantic partner, like a date. Like, don't ask them on a date if they don't know it's a date, hoping that they will figure it out it might be a date, and then realize that they're on a date and then magically be glad.
Okay.
Like, I wouldn't do that. You know, which I think most people do.
I was literally just going to say, all right, well, that idea is out the window, you guys. Don't do that. I'm not that I was going to tell you to do that exactly, but I feel like I've been in that situation, and instead of saying and vocalizing, like, I am in love with you.
Well, I wouldn't also maybe say you're in love either.
Well, it was like
a little
bit
heavy.
Of a hyperbole. But instead of coming out and vocalizing it, because I feel like once the words come out of your mouth, like, I like you, I'm interested in you as more than what we currently are, I feel like you're setting yourself up for, like, possible rejection. So you have to you know, prepare yourself.
Yeah.
So I think I've always, I've kind of, like, put out feelers. And I guess this is maybe what you're saying not to do. But, like, you can show somebody that you care about them and that you're interested in them and kind of, like, put the ball in their court. Do you agree? Or you think just cut the bullshit and just say it?
Why are we putting the ball in their court?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like people often do that because you're scared of rejection.
They 100% more often than not do that. Yeah, but I would suggest that they should stop doing that.
Like, okay.
You should stop giving away your power.
Okay.
Like, when people say, like, the ball's in your court, you're saying, I'm going to give you the power. I'm going to give you the choice. I'm going to give you the control.
Yeah.
Like, that's essentially what you're saying.
No, that's totally true.
Yeah. And we, like, man, well, I don't care if you're a guy or a girl, people should stop giving away power, especially when the other person's not even asking for it.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And men and women are both attracted to power and confidence, right?
Yeah.
Which is why we tend to chase or go after things, you know, when we get excited, it's because we feel almost a little bit of, like, we lack control.
Yeah.
And the deciding to put the ball in your court has really nothing to do with you being kind or whatever. It's just you're afraid of rejection.
Yeah, definitely.
But facing a rejection, like, shows, confidence.
That is,
doesn't mean you're going to get what you want, but...
Very true, very true.
We often do the opposite of what we should do when we want the very thing we want, mostly based off of fear. Yeah.
I feel like I need to get that, like, tattooed somewhere.
That's okay.
Like, in my mind, at least.
We'll put it on a podcast. We'll have this recorded forever.
Perfect. Yeah. So, this doesn't have anything to do with, like, the friend topic, but what you're saying about power and the chase. We all love the chase. You're addicted to the chase. Once the chase is gone, once you feel like that person is, like, yours and you could get them, mm-hmm. do you think that's a common reason why guys will kind of, like, back off and maybe ghost you? Because oftentimes people are like, he was so into me,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden it's a 180. And it's like, I was finally starting to feel him back, you know, I was putting in effort, and then they put in the effort, and then he's like, ooh, too much effort, gotta go.
Yeah, that can happen, sure.
And you think it's because you're giving away your power?
I can't speak for, like, every situation, you know?
Of course.
And I think men and women are... I think a big reason why it feels like men are more guilty of doing that than women are is because, and again, I think there's this societal aspect to it, or, you know, call it the patriarchy or whatever, old fashioned traditions of, you know, guy's supposed to ask the woman out, you know, guy's supposed to pursue the woman.
Mm-hmm.
So with that expectation, I think the reason why it feels like men do that more is the expectation that men are supposed to chase, and therefore women often will put the ball in their court,
mm-hmm.
right? But when women don't do that, I think women often, you know, get excited and then change their mind as well. There's plenty of men out there who say, well, fuck, what happened?
You know?
Like, so I think that's just a human instinct, and again, it has more to do with a lot of women are choosing to let guys pursue them. And then when that happens, if you make it about the chase, then the game will end when you get caught.
Yeah.
You know, if that's the game you're playing, the game's mm-hmm. over, you know, and that's why, it's a fine line, right? Like, you don't want to, you know, that's why I like to put it in context around, like, power and, like, your power in terms of, like, your agency, the choices you have when it comes to dating, you know, like, when you go on dates, like, what is your focus? To be liked or to find out if you like them? Most people make the mistake of wanting to be liked,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is silly because you don't know that person.
Right.
Like, you know their profile, their face, you know, like, you know that they had maybe a clever bio, but you don't even know if that was their idea.
It's probably their friends.
And I think the less you give up your power, the more attractive you will be to that person. And then it's less about chasing each other rather than finding someone who can, like, match your energy.
Okay. I like that a lot. Like, figuring out if you like them, not if they like you. I think oftentimes people just, obviously, it's just like the intrinsic, is that the right word? Just like the natural feeling that you want to have is that somebody likes you and somebody's attracted to you and that you're, like, putting on a good impression. But I mean, yeah, that's true. What does the good impression really matter? If you don't see a future with them, you don't want to go on a second date, or, like, you just don't see it working out. You don't like them.
Being liked is just stroking your ego.
Yeah, totally.
Which is fun.
Love to do that.
Know, I certainly have an ego, but it doesn't necessarily get you what you want. And if you are if you're making choices based off of validating your ego, then you're constantly seeking validation, and people often find themselves chasing things mm-hmm. that don't necessarily fulfill them or even what they want.
Okay.
I mean, how many times have you, or I'm sure you've had a friend be like, I don't really fucking like this guy. Like,
yeah.
But I'm like, ugh. You know, like, I'm losing my mind over this person, and I don't even know why.
Well, yeah.
Because you've been, for whatever reason, your choices are more likely based off of feeling special and your ego needing mm-hmm. to feel like the absolute best, and then every decision you make is based around getting someone's validation, which isn't necessarily making you happy. It's stroking your ego, and your ego will never be satisfied. Like, your ego's never like, I'm good, I've had enough.
Yeah.
Like, never. So it's a balance.
Yeah. No, that's super interesting, because so when I knew that I was going to have you on the podcast, I had people submit questions or like their dating stories or whatever. And a lot of them were, I don't know why I can't get over this guy getting a new girlfriend, because I didn't even like her. I didn't even like him that much. Like, I wasn't in love with
him. The short answer is your ego.
But why does it hurt? Yeah, and that's the perfect answer. This podcast episode is sponsored by Athena Club. Now that it's getting colder, I'm wearing pants more often and bathing suits less often. However, it's about to be fall and winter break. I know a lot of us are traveling, and I recently just took a beach trip for the weekend, which means the very much dreaded shaving of the bikini line and the legs. You guys, one of these days, I'm going to get laser. But anyways, I felt great and so confident because my Athena Club razor leaves me without any razor burns, and my skin feeling as soft as it possibly can. Athena Club is a razor subscription company. I've talked about them for almost a year now. Love them. My razor is pink. It has a magnetizing little holder thing. I don't know the proper word for it, but it sticks to the side of my shower, so I'm not leaving it in puddles, and it's a 5-blade. Every month, they will send you new razor blades so you can save money and be sustainable, all while getting a great shave. Head on over to athenaclub.com and use the promo code JennaP for 20% off. That is athenaclub.com with the promo code JennaP for 20% off. My next question, still kind of around the friend topic, friends with benefits. Do you think that it can work or no?
Define work.
Okay, so
do I think you can have a friends with benefits? For sure.
Yeah, without one person getting hurt eventually.
Well, it depends on how mature or how the boundaries you guys set and the upfront expectations.
Okay.
Most people in relationships, and you know, on my podcast, most of the time the answers I'm giving are around helping people be more honest with themselves about their choices
and their intentions with actually entering.
Yeah, we lie to ourselves more than we lie to anyone else. You're the biggest liar you'll ever meet.
Oh, I fully 100% believe
that. We all
are,
you know? Like,
yeah.
No one's in your head as much as you are, and we're often like, I don't really care, and you care. We all care, right? So we tell ourselves a bunch of lies every day, and that's mostly, again, because our egos don't want to hear the truth. And
yeah, so, for sure.
And so when it comes to friends with benefits, you know, I think you just need to, we like to say, you know, like, and again, depending on, you know, if you like met a person, guy or girl, like, do you really want to be friends with benefits, or are you accepting friends with benefits?
Mm-hmm. Like, you're using it as your way to kind of finagle in to be like, maybe eventually he'll catch feelings for me.
He's like, I'm not looking for a girlfriend right now.
Yeah.
You're just like, and you're okay, like, it's cool. Like, and you know, you're not cool.
Mm-hmm.
You're pretending to be cool.
Yeah.
Like, don't try to be the cool chick.
Right. And then you'll accept, like, less than you deserve. You're never going to get what you want out of that relationship, so.
Yeah, but if you're, like, if you are, listen, I'm a young person. There's a lot of things I want to do for myself, career. I want to have fun. I want to prioritize my friends or family, whatever. And, like, honestly, like, a relationship, like, maybe you're in your early 20s and you're like, I don't want to get married till my late 20s. So, like, I don't need a boyfriend right now. If one finds me or a girlfriend, then great, but you're not actively pursuing one. So you meet someone, you're like, and you're like, hey, listen, I don't want to sleep around, so like, you're nice, we have fun, we hooked up, I have good sex with you, and let's turn this into a fuck buddy situation, and you're honest with yourself about that, then it can work. But there's at any moment there's a risk that one person might start to want more, because even if you are honest with yourself, you're not so sure how honest they are with themselves.
Yeah.
And so it can be very tricky, but you just have to communicate and be upfront. The best thing to do is to be upfront and communicate. If you're going to have a fuck buddy, you don't have to get there and get into every detail
right,
about
like
their dating
the
life, but you should be able to acknowledge that you guys are both like free agents, that right. you're out there dating. if it annoys you that they're dating, like you can, you know, you can't control how you feel. You might get annoyed, but you can't take it out on them. You can't get mm-hmm. mad. You can't. And if you do, you have to sort that out with yourself. And so yeah. it's, I think there's a lot of thoughts and feelings that people don't do and try to avoid. And then they're like, wake up one day and wonder why they care so much.
Yeah. I just genuinely think that a friends with benefits situation just doesn't ever work. Like one person will always get hurt. Even if you set the boundaries, like even if you go into it with the intentions of this is all this is, I just feel like over time you chose that person for some reason, whether you are like attracted to them physically or you just have a connection with them and you feel comfortable with them. But I feel like over time, one person is bound to catch feelings. I feel like guys and girls,
you're probably right to a certain extent, but I would probably guess or argue that in most of those situations, one person has always had those feelings they pretended not to have.
Yeah.
And I agree with you that like a true friends with benefits situation isn't as common as people, you know, like people are
like
out there
movies.
Saying this is my friends with benefits,
right, right.
but like the ones that could be successful. And I would, you know, I would agree that I think maybe friends with benefits probably have, like an expiration date.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this has been my friends with benefits for 4 years. I'd be like,
are you sure?
You
okay.
Know? But every situation is different, you know?
Okay. Good. That's good advice. Okay. So the next topic that a lot of people asked about are red flags. So these are just like very common things. So like I said, when I said that you were going to be on the podcast, people submitted and there were over like 300 people asking for advice. So I just kind of sorted through and I tried to categorize them into
okay.
things that are relatable.
Do you have good organizational skills?
I don't. Do
are you?
You?
Sure? No.
Okay, I don't because I'm not going to lie.
You seem like you do.
No, I was stuck in traffic on the way here and I'm frantically typing
gotcha.
Away.
Right.
So I was a little bit more prepared than it seemed. So first one is he won't introduce you to his friends or family, but you've been exclusive for like a good amount of time.
So you're like, you've defined the relationship.
Yes. But like, he won't what? Include you in his personal life in any way.
Yeah.
Is that a red flag?
Potentially.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I also, at the same time, think that people make way too big of a deal about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I feel like it's easy to get in your head about it too. If you're like, oh, he's not asking me to meet his family for Thanksgiving. Like, oh, does that mean he doesn't, you know?
Yeah, because I strongly believe, especially, and again, like when people call into my Ask Nick episodes, I always ask their age because age matters. It provides context.
For
right?
sure,
like,
yeah.
Everything's different. Everyone's different. People mature at different ages, but there are various kind of stages in your life. And so if you're, say, a young couple who, you know, like you're going to school or you're working and you have a lot of individual aspirations, like whatever your dreams are, and
mm-hmm.
You know, and you want to be in a committed relationship, you know, that should go be a relationship that progresses slower, right? Because
yeah.
in theory, if you are someone who has all these dreams and you're going to have to focus a lot of your energy on those dreams, right?
Mm-hmm.
For if you want to be successful in those dreams, your time is not infinite.
Yeah.
You know, there's only so many hours of the day and days of the week and days in the year, so to speak. I don't know if I got that right, but
sounded like you did.
So we have a tendency in any relationship, and I think a lot of younger couples do, is they use these benchmarks as a way to measure their love. It's like,
wait, that's so true. I didn't even think about it until now, but it is so true. It's like you really like the person, and then you announce them on social media, and then
yeah, social media, meeting your parents. Like they can introduce you to your parents, and they could hate you a week later.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't really guarantee you anything. It
yeah.
sounds nice. You think it means something, but also everyone has different relationships with their family.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely like
you
the
know?
Idea of the timeline.
Yes,
measuring where you're at.
Like when people love to say, "Yes, are you close to your family?" No, some people might say, "Not really."
Yeah.
But when someone says, "Yeah, I'm close to your family," there's a spectrum of what that means
right.
to different people. You know, you could be close with your, you can consider yourself close to their family. You talk to your mom, you know, once a month. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Or some people are like, I talk to my mom every day.
Right.
And they both feel close. Right. And so maybe family events or holidays, you know, maybe there's been some divorces or separations and maybe, you know, travel. So that's not that big of a deal.
Okay.
Maybe they have parents who are just like, I don't need to meet like your girlfriend or boyfriend, like, you know,
right,
until
right.
like I know it's serious.
Yeah.
So if you, in the, you know, and that's like, it just doesn't mean all that much. Now, all that said, if they're like resistant to it, mm-hmm. weirdly, like, you know what I'm saying? If they're like avoiding it.
Yeah.
Like, I would be curious as to why. Like, if you're dating someone and you don't know their friends or family, yeah, that's a bit of a red flag.
I feel like the friends is more of a red flag to me than the family thing, because the family thing is so situational. But I feel like your friends, you know, they say that the five people you surround yourself with are kind of like an average of who you are. And so I feel like
to
that would be
extent,
kind
but
of...
Yes, it would be weird if they are avoiding, you know, no social media, no friends. Like, if you feel like you're being kept a secret, that's a red flag.
Okay.
But, like, being invited to Thanksgiving and meeting mom and dad and going to, the, like, the big, like, meeting the parents.
Right,
like,
right.
I don't think that means as much as, like, unless you're on the doorsteps of an engagement, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, every family is different.
Okay. So it can or cannot be a red flag. That's good to know. I definitely just...
If you feel, you know, trust your gut. If you feel like you're being kept a secret...
Okay.
That's a red flag. If you want to meet their parents or a certain group of friends because you think you're ready, your relationship's ready for the next step, you might want to chill out.
Okay. All right. Cool. I like that advice. Next one is, you've been talking. You've been exclusive. He has said that he loves you. You've said that you love him. You see a future together, but you're still just talking. Like, he's not your boyfriend. She is not your girlfriend. And
wait, they refuse to put a title. But you're exclusive?
You're exclusive, but... Okay, this is actually... You know what? This is a really good question, too. So do you think that there are so many girls that are like, I'm not seeing other people. He's not seeing other people. We've both, like, said that, but he's not my boyfriend or girlfriend. To me, being exclusive insinuates that you are dating. But a lot of people think that, like, you're not dating until they actually ask you to be your boyfriend or girlfriend. Do you think it's all just a title?
What I think is that if you find yourself in the situation, you are someone who's most likely giving your person, whoever this is, all your power.
Okay.
You are afraid of them leaving you. You're afraid of not being liked.
Mm-hmm.
You're afraid of speaking up and saying what you want out of fear that they will reject you or say no. You're afraid of walking away.
Okay. So you're just being complacent and just accepting the fact that, like...
Yeah, because none of that makes sense.
Okay.
Right?
Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. No, 100%.
Like, we're exclusive, but we're not boyfriend girlfriend. What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah. No, I believe it. I believe it.
Like, titles don't mean anything. Mm-hmm. I often say in relationships, like, relationship starts when you have expectations. Whatever those expectations are. You know, like, I expect to hang out with you on a... I don't know, 3 days a week or you call me or, you know, when you start having expectations, you're in a relationship. I don't care what you call it. You can call whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, but if you have expectations, it's some sort of relationship. A friendship's a relationship, right? And if you two have these mutual expectations of like, why don't you call me? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, what the fuck? You know, like you're in a relationship. And if you've said, we're not going to sleep with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty, like...
Yeah, like, pretty self-explanatory. Like,
you can call whatever you want.
Running from the idea that you're not actually together, even though you are. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's a good question. Glad that we got some clarity on that. The next one...
But I would also want to point out, though, if you are dating someone who's weirdly making it about labels and they're somehow vaguely... Because I'd be willing to bet in a lot of those situations for the people listening, if they're like relating to your story, I'd be willing to bet that the person they're dating like reluctantly agreed to not sleeping with other people in such a passive way that if they were to like have sex with someone else, they want to be able to not be defined as a cheater at the end of the day.
Oh my God, that is,
So they want to be like, well, we weren't boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh,
and
my
like,
God.
Well, we weren't dating other people, but we weren't boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yes.
And like, but we said we weren't like, we said we weren't sleeping with other people. What's like, well, I didn't really say that. Like you, or I was like, sure. I mean, I'm not. And most likely what he probably said is like, I'm not sleeping with anyone right now. And I have no interest in sleeping with someone.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know, but he never said, I'm never going to. But you wanted to make sure he wasn't sleeping with someone else. So like you said this and he kind of was like, again, and then you heard something that you're like, well, that's good enough.
Okay. Yeah,
you know
yeah.
What I'm saying? Those are the lies we tell ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we should, you know, stop doing that.
All right, guys, stop lying to yourselves. So it has nothing to do with me.
but yeah, if you feel that way, you have to, like, what you should do is just say stop.
Okay.
No. Say no.
Okay.
And you just, you know, very calmly, if you can, very chill. Listen, if people are afraid of losing you, they'll behave.
Yeah. So, hey, I'm not going to lie. I did read that in an article about you and Natalie. She was like, this is what I want. Walked away. Is this true? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. So, and I know that it works.
I mean, I'm very secure in our relationship.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, she doesn't need me.
Mm-hmm.
Like she you can take have someone away. She wants.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I think there's an appropriate amount of, especially, you know, we're not married, we're not engaged. Mm-hmm. I think complacency is the death knell of any relationship, and I think there's an appropriate amount of, like, you know, discomfort. I think you need to wake up every day and choose your partner.
Yeah, I like that. My parents have been together for 30 years, and I'm often like, I want that, but you know, you got to find somebody who also wants that too. So the next question, and I'm gonna be completely honest, I really have not done this, and I think that it's a lot more common than I realized, but Venmoing, like looking at an ex-boyfriend or a current like interest Venmo, if they're being sketchy and then you see that this guy is Venmoing a girl that you don't know,
but you're in a relationship with this person,
yeah, or you're like talking, maybe you're not in a relationship and technically in your terms you are in a relationship, but you're just not boyfriend
defined anything.
Okay,
then this is weird.
Yeah
you're stalking.
I agree. So I think
but
I know
if you're in a
so
relationship
many people,
and you find yourself doing that, and you
that to me tells me, like, why are you, there's some type of insecurity there, though. There's some type of issue that's leading you to believe that, like, you need to look at it.
Yeah, like, it's like, you know, you shouldn't check their phone.
Yeah. See, I've genuinely never done that. I can wholeheartedly say I've never looked at significant
it's a slippery
phone.
Slope. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, why is a guy sending her money?
Yeah.
First of all, and, like, depending on the, you know, like I don't use Venmo all that much, but I think about it. Like I pay my therapist through Venmo.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why is Nick sending Darlene 200, you know, who the fuck is Darlene? You know,
yeah.
I mean, like Natalie knows, but you know what I'm saying? So like,
that's a good point. And often you
also like, why would, I don't know why people don't make every transaction private. Like, why is it not?
Yeah. That to me is almost like,
I don't want people knowing who I'm sending transactions to.
Yeah, even if I'm just like paying my roommates for something, like a bottle of wine or something. Yeah. Most of mine are private,
stop.
I think.
I think everyone should be private.
Yeah.
You're giving too much information about yourself. And that's not because like you're being sketchy. Like, why do you need to know that you like sent John $3 because you like lost a stupid bet? I don't know.
It's like, really ironic. My ex-boyfriend's name is John, so that would be super odd if I were to do that. Okay. So, and speaking of ex-boyfriends, so a lot of people, they need your advice. Obviously, you've been in like a few relationships and heartbreak is very, very hard. So what is your advice for like truly moving on? And I feel like I probably know what your answer is going to be, but like,
what's my answer?
I mean, I feel like
maybe you might. I mean, I've talked a lot about it and I always say it's like, it's hard, but it's not complicated.
Mm-hmm.
We often make it more complicated than it needs to be because it's hard. We have feelings, we care, and it sucks.
Yeah, I agree. I think you often just hold on to like those great memories, and it's so easy to play a little montage in your head of, you know, fun times, especially if it's like the first time you felt that so deeply, and then you're pulled away from it, and you're like, oh, I'm never going to find this again. And that often leads to people, this was actually a common question, was, how do I stop being so picky and like comparing everybody to my ex-boyfriend? And I think you should always be picky.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad we're on the same page about that. I think you should always be picky because you shouldn't ever lower your standards, but maybe
but
like
there's a difference
not
between being picky and comparing them to your ex.
Yes.
You know, not to sound like the older guy, but like, yeah, listen, if it's your first love, it's so hard to get over your first love.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard. You just, because you don't know better. You don't know anything else. It was your first time falling in love. It was the first time having those really crazy feelings about someone. And you're like, what is this thing I'm feeling, right? This excitement and all these things. And for the first time, you were truly bonding with this other person and sharing some of your deepest secrets with someone. And felt like, you know, like, and then it ended.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that way when I, you know, like, you feel like you're never going to find it again.
Yeah.
You're going to. Like, all I can say is you will,
mm-hmm.
you know. And you have to, and a big part about moving on is just having the perspective, even if you don't have the perspective, that you will someday. You know, that part you're just going to have to live. But once you fall in love, break up, move on, it always gets easier and better. Mm-hmm. And the difference between like your second heartbreak and your first heartbreak is it feels the same. Like you still have the pain inside when you go to bed and wake up and
right.
the anxiety. But there's that part. The second time is like, I got through it before. I don't know. I'll get through it this time. The reason why the first heartbreak is so hard is because you truly believe or wonder or are afraid if you will ever feel it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because up until that point, even if you fell in love at 18,
yeah,
like you've never had it before. And no matter what age we are, we always feel old as adults because every day we wake up, that's the oldest we'll ever be.
Yeah, so true.
Like today's the oldest you ever have been.
I know,
and
I
so
know.
So you're like, oh, I've been here for so long. And I think as you get older, you start recognizing that and having perspective.
Okay, cool.
So that's one thing. And but minus that fear of never finding it again, I always tell people to make a list of what you were grateful for in the relationship,
mm-hmm.
and what you were hopeful for in the relationship.
Yeah.
Because if you broke up with someone, assuming they broke up with you, it's easy. Like your ego is going to be activated because it's pissed at you for being dumped. You're just like, what the fuck?
Right.
How did you fuck this up?
You're like, do I want to get back together with my ex because he broke up with me? And you're like, why?
Or even if they're like long gone,
like,
you're just like, your ego's mad at you for fucking it up.
Yeah.
You're just like, and so, yeah, you naturally will forget about what you were mad at, what you didn't like. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the pros and cons list can be helpful. I think it's a little bit more specific if you make a list of things that you were grateful for when you had them and things that you were hopeful for.
Okay.
And by hopeful for, you're saying, I always hoped that they would do this or I hoped that they would do that. And that, you know, I was hoping that we had this. And what you were grateful for is like, yeah, those will be harder to move on. But I think most people would recognize that they're probably more hopeful. They were more hopeful in that relationship than grateful for the things they had.
Yeah, that's great.
And that might help put things into perspective.
For sure. Well, a lot of the people that listen to my podcast obviously are like around, you know, they're in college or they're mid-20s, maybe in their 30s. And there's so much pressure, especially when you live in like a smaller town and people from your high school, you log on Facebook, first thing you see, engagement, engagement, engagement. People are getting pregnant. Everybody around you is in the stage of your life where you are just not there and you're single and you feel all this pressure to find a partner because of the people around you. What would be your advice for that? I personally think it's really hard to be friends with everybody who is in a long-term relationship. And if that's the case, I kind of think you should like go out, make some new friends and like maybe move to a new city where people are kind of in your stage of life.
A little bit, yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, eventually when I moved out of Milwaukee, it was because, I always wanted to move. But yeah, like I broke up with my girlfriend and my rest of my friends and relationships got engaged, you know? So
mm-hmm.
there's a little bit of that. Like, I think as you get older, you should always be looking to make friends and meet new people, whether you move or you go out and friendships evolve. You know, you can still be friends with them, but it's always going to change.
Right. I mean, friendship dynamics just change entirely when somebody gets a boyfriend, because, you know, they're like, they're not going out with you as much. Like, sure, they're spending more time with their significant other. And then it's not the fact that they don't care about you the same. It's just that they have other priorities.
Well, when you're single and going out, your best friends are kind of, you're kind of dating them in a way.
Yeah.
You know? Like, not sexually or anything like that, but there's that, they might be the person, like, calling up and be like, I had a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell your friend about that bad day. When you get a boyfriend or girlfriend, and you grow and connect. So that's, that happens.
Yeah.
You know, and as far as, I do think people should pride themselves in being good third wheels and fifth wheels. I think you need to be comfortable with being alone. I think no one likes that friend who's like, complaining about not having a boyfriend or girlfriend just because your friends are in a relationship. And we listen, if you're in your early to mid 20s and you're the only single one, like, there's a good chance like that ratio is going to flip in a couple years. You could be in a relationship and they could be single.
Yeah, that's
they could
true.
Be like, you know, I have a lot of not a lot of friends, but like, I have a handful of friends who they've been engaged, married, and divorced.
Yeah.
Already. And like, I've never been married. Like, you know, I could have sat back and been like, oh, like, yeah, why haven't I been married yet? Like, it seems so in love. And they all seem in love when they're getting married.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the comparison is a thief of joy, so to speak. I think, you know, it's, you got to try to be present and enjoy. And I think you will feel really good about yourself if you can be happy for your friends, if you can find joy in hanging out with your friends. And you don't need to always bring someone on a date.
I think
if you are invited to a wedding, don't look for, like, you're invited and like with a plus one.
Mm-hmm.
That's not like a reason to panic, like you need to bring a date.
Yeah.
Go by yourself.
Yeah.
And maybe there'll be other single people. Maybe there won't be. Like,
yeah.
Today's not about you anyways. Go and support your friends and don't worry about, like, no one cares if you show up single anyways. Don't make it about you.
Yeah.
I think we have a way of doing that. And then we just get in our heads and we miss out on a lot of moments. And I say this as someone who's done that, right? Who's made these mistakes. And I think the more we complain about our present situation, especially if we're single and or going through heartbreak and not letting go and not moving on, we miss out on a lot of great moments and a lot of great experiences. And you're going to miss out on enjoying times with your friends. So try not to do that.
Okay, definitely. I think there's just a lot of, you know, pressure to find somebody. But I always say you can't find somebody until you, like, you got to date yourself before you can date someone else.
Yeah,
like, you need to know what you're looking
for.
So you attract the right people. Because I think if you're looking so vividly, you're constantly going on dates, like, there's so much anxiety of finding someone. It probably won't be, like, your perfect match, you know, unless you just date yourself, figure it out, and then, like, eventually that right person will come along. But
sure, yeah, date yourself, whatever you want to call it, or comfortable with being alone.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if you're not comfortable being alone, you will find yourself chasing people or settling.
Mm-hmm. That's great. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up. But Nick, on my podcast, at the very end of every episode, this is obviously a little bit different because we're talking about relationships and it's not as focused around like your career or anything. But I am curious. At the end, I always ask my guests that I have on, what is your like weekday activity that you recommend somebody to do? But my twist is, what is your kind of like fun date idea for you and your significant other, or something that you and Natalie enjoy to do that like helps build your relationship?
Good question. I mean, we just like spending time together and
I know I kind of threw that one at you. I feel like, honestly,
well,
yeah,
in terms
it doesn't...
of like what we like to do, we like going to dinners and hanging out with our dog and going on. We just like doing things that allow us to talk or hang out. We're homebodies. Obviously, it's in a COVID world, so to speak. Neither of us are big. We like to go. So we like to pick our moments of being social, but neither of us are big, like need to go out all the time, and so we get a lot of quality time that way. In terms of like date ideas in general, I think you should value being in an environment where you feel comfortable.
Okay.
You know, like dating is hard. First dates are awkward. Second date, you know, yeah. So like the environment, what you do, none of it really matters. Okay. So like just no, you're not impressing anyone.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. You know, if you're spending quality time with somebody that you care about and you're able to actually connect with them and talk with them and just like be present with them, then anything that you do is fun. It doesn't need to be a specific activity. And I think that's kind of
if you like each other. I think especially like women, for women who are, you know, rightfully have concerns that men don't have about like safety and meeting strangers and things that in a COVID world, like with Zoom, like kind of became like a mainstream thing. And so we spend all this time on dating apps, talking back and forth, having 10 conversations with a bunch of guys and like waiting for them to ask us out. But you're just I don't know if I want to get ready or go out. And I think people, men and women, and I think it's a great bonus for women who are like, just want to screen these people.
Mm-hmm.
Just do like a Zoom date.
Interesting.
And if you like the person, you'll enjoy it. And if not, you can literally blame it on your internet. And you don't have to give them their email. You don't have to give them their number. You can make a fake email address.
Honestly, it's kind of genius.
You can make an email address just for your Zoom account.
Okay.
So you're not giving any personal information away, but you get to see what they look like, what they talk like, their inflections, their voice. So you don't have to interpret it, emojis or things like that.
Yeah.
And see if you guys can hold a 15-minute conversation on Zoom. And if not, then you don't have to worry about like getting cute or going out or meeting a stranger, you know, like.
Okay. I like that.
You know, figure out quickly. And that's the problem with dating apps these days, is there's too many options.
Yeah.
And we don't know what to do. So like make moves, you know, like
that's
if you don't want to go out, just do a Zoom date.
Right. That's a whole can of worms. I feel like dating apps could just be an entire episode in itself. But I love that. So anybody who's listening, if you're single, maybe do like a little speed dating night on Zoom.
Seriously, right? What if you have like 10 matches like on Bumble and you're like, and you're just...
It could be kind of fun. You could kind of create like your own little...
100%.
Love that.
I think that's great.
Okay, cool. Love that. Well, we're going to wrap things up, but thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. Maybe you learned something. I know I did. I'm probably going to go sit home and sulk and think about all these things on my car ride back. But
you're
Nick,
just fine.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. And that is it. Oh, Nick, if you guys enjoyed this episode, definitely follow Nick and listen to his podcast. It's great. I definitely get a lot of takeaways from it. And you want to like plug it? It's
The Vile Files. You can listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Perfect.
Specifically, our episodes on Monday are a lot of these kinds of conversations.
Perfect.
People call in and share their stories, and I help them comb through the truth.
Okay. I love that. Yeah. So if you're looking for personal advice, listen to Nick on Mondays and maybe he'll answer your call. But until then, I will talk to you all next Tuesday.
Bye.